Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney post up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage! All of you!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
You know, I think we got a couple small decisions, a couple really big ones, and I think Lamar falls in that really big category. I think based off what he's told us as far as teammates, what he says in the locker room, how he carries himself, I think he'd love to be a Raven. Now, obviously, different things got to happen with contract and everything. You know, he's a guy that deserves highest paid money. So how he handles that and everything I think will be interesting. But I would love to have him back. Great teammate, humble guy. So hopefully everything in the front office can get that all together.
Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan. No Bobster today. Cordell Woodland in place of Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this featured artist Friday right here on The Fan. And it's the Pro Bowl games going on this week. It started last night. I guess the rest of the Pro Bowl games will take place on Sunday afternoon. But Marlon Humphrey is among quite a few Ravens that are out in Vegas for the event. And there's Marlon Humphrey talking about the biggest topic in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson and his contract situation. And Marlon is right there talking about, you know, what pretty much what every player on this team has said at the end of the season when we asked him about Lamar, is that they feel confident that Lamar will be back. After talking to Lamar, they feel like Lamar wants to be here in Baltimore. I know a lot of people have their own thoughts because we don't know what's going on right now. We've been playing this game for, I think, a little over 2 years at this point. I still believe Lamar wants to be in Baltimore, and I still believe the Ravens want to keep Lamar.
Yep.
But all of that will be for nothing if they can't get him to sign the dotted line.
Well, he'll sign one dotted line. Might not be his contract. Might be the I'm guessing, the franchise tag. That's what it's going to be. But how many of the players do you think, Cordell, when they watched last week's game and the game before that, Mahomes, limping, can't even run, you know, probably at what? When he first got hurt, when he came back in the second half of that game?
Maybe like 60, 65% maybe?
Maybe, if that.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason I asked is, remember when we were at the press conference, Harb said, oh, yeah, he'd have played. If they'd have won, he'd have played that next game. So if that's the case, what's he, 70, 80%? You know, and Mahomes is playing at 50% and making plays. And a big part of his game is mobility.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, to me, that how many of the – I mean, if I'm a player, I'm saying, damn. You know, when you're sitting there – and put yourself in a player's mind. You're sitting at home – watching Kansas City, man, you know, look at him walk around and go on one leg.
I mean, it definitely sucks. You know what I'm saying?
No,
because and a couple of the players indicated that you know, it's an unfortunate situation, and it sucks because they do understand that they would have had a better shot at going deeper into the playoffs if Lamar Jackson is on the field. I think it's a different dynamic a little bit. While Mahomes does use his legs to escape the pocket and extend plays for sure, Lamar uses his legs to, like, a whole nother level. Lamar uses his legs to, like, pull off 60-yard runs. You know what I'm saying? I just don't know if Patrick Mahomes could go in And I also think that offense allows him to go in and be 45% and still be out there. Lamar.
Well, that's why G-Row's gone.
Yeah, this offense, it's too much on Lamar's plate for him to not be close to 100%, I think.
Well, and same with Joe Burrow. Same type of thing. And here's the thing that I'm saying is part of the reason, you know, they're bringing in a new coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of this. You know, when if you look at the Bengals, biggest difference, you know, like for in their pass game is you look at Mixon and P. Ryan. How about over 900 yak yards between your two running backs?
Crazy.
Just think if, you know, Lamar, you know, and to me, you got to have that conversation. Lamar, you know, just dump it to your backs. You know, you want to, you know, like all those times he got hurt, he's scrambling around. All right, boom, just dump it off. He doesn't like to do that.
That's
you know, and that's what he's got to, that's what they've got to build into right. the offense. And you say that Bieniemy's the number one candidate. If Bieniemy, you know, because they got Kelsey, you know, would be a good fit. I think Bieniemy, I got no problem with Eric Bieniemy being the guy. I mean, you know, if he can be creative, you know, because what we don't know is, because Andy calls the plays.
Right.
You know, is it all Andy being creative or is Eric? But then with the Chiefs, they're letting him go. He's interviewed at other places to be coordinator. His contract's up after this year. They're not renewing him after this year. What's the issue? Or, you know, they'll probably say for him to grow, he needs to go somewhere else.
I think it's more of that. I, because what could the issue possibly be? I mean, the Chiefs have been one of the best and most creative and explosive offenses in the league since Patrick Mahomes has taken over. Now, he's a big part of that. You know, I know it's Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are on the sidelines and they're drawing stuff up. But Patrick Mahomes doing some of the things that he does, the unorthodox things, the off-script things he does, it takes that offense to another level. Now, Lamar has that those same capabilities for sure. And you talk about some of the weapons that the Chiefs have and how that translates to the Ravens. It is a little identical in a couple of ways. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, both the best receiving targets on their individual teams. You talk about wanting to get the running backs more involved in the pass game. Jerick McKinnon was involved in the pass game a lot for the Chiefs this year out of the backfield. I think JK could do that.
What's his name?
Isaiah Pacheco.
I love Pacheco.
Yeah, he runs insanely hard.
Yeah. You know, so I think that if Lamar will throw to the running backs, and everybody that they've interviewed is, you know, some style
pass
of
guys.
West Coast. Yeah, they're all pass guys. So, say he goes from, I don't know, what's Lamar's percentage right now, 62 or whatever. If he'll dump it to the backs, you know, and they'll catch, you know, like, Nolan, how many receptions does P. Ryan and Mixon have combined? Well over 100, you know. And, all right, just don't take 50 of those hits that you're running and you dump it to the backs and you're getting those yak. The thing that Lamar, I don't think, believes in is that the running backs can get more yak yards than he can make running and scrambling. But as he's getting older and getting hit more, did you think last year? I thought last year when he gained the weight and stuff, Cordell, he took more big. That was the first time when I'm watching him play and stuff. I go, ooh,
yeah,
that was a, he normally doesn't take those kind of big hits. And he was taking some big hits. If he'll dump it to the backs, you know, that'll take a lot of heat off him. And I'll bet you, the one that he's scrambling left where he hurt his knee. All right, you know, what you got to do is, you know, in your progression, my guy's not one, two, boom. Instead of boom, take off or I'm going to scramble. No, one, two, boom, I dump it to my back. You know, and then I take less hits in the pocket.
Yeah, you got about 100 combined receptions between the two, 60 for Mixon, 38 for P. Ryan.
And look up the Ravens. See how many receptions their backs have. Is it 20? You know, I mean,
between all the injuries,
it's kind of a joke.
I'm starting with Dobbins here. I can't imagine it's barely anything.
Yeah, it's kind of a joke.
7 receptions for Dobbins in 8 games this year. How about
Looks like about 38 receptions total for all the running backs. I just kind of eyeballed that.
So that's P. Ryan right there.
Right.
P.
Yeah.
Ryan has the same as all.
So that's my point. You know, include the backs in the off. And Lamar's got to buy into that, though, because Lamar likes to run it. And that's his thing. You know, it's like, you know, that clip when you watched at the beach. What happened? You know, he's dropping back. Nope, he's jumping over to the jet ski and everything else, you know.
It's tough, you know, because I agree Lamar does have to get into a spot where he does start to trust the check down a lot more.
They had to do that with Steve Young.
He's just, you know, he's such a walking big play, and he thinks that every time he sees a lane,
right,
he could just – and he can. I'm not going to sit here and act like he can't. He can. You know, Lamar could turn
but
a 5-yard
run. But look what's happened.
I mean, I don't
– 11 games he's missed the last 2 years.
I can't say that that's because he's running, though. It's been him in the pocket or trying to – I mean, even the Broncos won this year. I can't say for certain that he was able to get the ball out of his hands and make something happen there.
Well, he holds it too long. That's a big problem.
That's my biggest thing with him this year. I thought that there, outside of years past, he was more hesitant to take those running lanes this year than he has been in the past. And I never really understood why. I guess a part of me thought he wanted to show more of what he could be as a passer. And, yeah, maybe that ends up being more dollars. But he seemed more – he made quicker decisions with his feet in years prior than he did this year. And that was kind of a head scratcher for me even at the start of the year.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is, you know, they're trying to have him, you know, read his progressions and do all those things. And, you know, we don't know how quick he can read. Well, we've heard, you know, that's not his style. Just kind of like, you know, like Russell Wilson. That's not Russ's style. I mean, Russ was in, you know, a timing offense this past year with Hackett, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And people were saying, that's not Russ. You know, Russ has got to be able to scramble around, do all those things, make plays, you know, not really run a lot, but just be able to move. You know, when a guy throws a great deep ball. And, you know, they were having him go 1, 2, 3, you know, throw. You know, and that's not him.
Right.
A lot of times he can't see in the pocket.
Right.
You know, so they've got to – and Harb's interviewing, there's 10 dudes that he's either interviewed or asked for interviews. You know, and you know what he's probably learning a bunch is, because I'm asking this, if I'm Harb's, how do we take advantage of Lamar? What do you think, you know, because you know you're studying tape of Lamar before you're going in to meet. All right, what can we do? You know, do you think he can, you know, run? What type of, you know, in the past, when we got to throw, and Harb said it at the press conference, we got to be able to throw from the pocket. We got to be able to throw from all the different phases, you know, red zone, 2 minute, all of that. All right. What do you think Lamar can do the best? And Harb's learned a lot of stuff, because what happens is when you look at your own players, you kind of fall in love and you're biased, you know, and you're getting 10 outside opinions, or you're getting 8 outside opinions.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, it's the offseason. We're getting closer to draft time, still a couple of months away, but with the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game
combine
going on,
combine,
draft season is getting closer to us right now. So coming up next, we'll look at some of the Ravens' biggest needs today entering this year's NFL draft. That's next here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney. On your home for sports, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in place of the Bobster. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock on this featured Artist Friday right here on 105.7 The Fan. It's the offseason. Draft season is vastly approaching us right now, and we're looking at the Ravens' biggest needs today on February 3rd. What are some of the biggest needs this team has going into this draft? Remember, right now, they only have 5 draft picks, not as many as we're used to the Ravens having going into the draft. I'm still of the mindset that they're going to try to get more picks at some point here soon, but Vinny, they've got 5 picks. We know they have holes at the wide receiver position, cornerback position, guard now.
I don't know about guard, just because, you know, I mean, that's why it's either going to be Cleveland, Falele, and I'm guessing Cologne would probably be a
no,
Makari? Cheap deal.
You don't think Makari could play there?
Not for 17 games. I think Makari's much more valuable as my sixth guy, you know, my swing tackle. I mean, he's making $6 million a year, and I think I feel more comfortable just because, you know, he's got that bad back, and he misses a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, because if you put – because I was not – before last season, I thought Power sucked. You know, I thought he was like a box, and I didn't think he was athletic at all. I thought he was on the ground all the time, didn't move his feet. Then whatever he did in the offseason, he kind of changed his body around, and he could pull, turn up. You know, he was like so much different than what he'd been before. And even Eric said that.
Yeah.
You know, and during the year, I'm like, damn. You know, I give that kid a lot of credit. He got better. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make himself, what, probably $8 million a year or something like that. So give him credit. So you've got to do that. You need cheap labor somewhere.
Right.
You know, and left guard. Because you got a Pro Bowl left tackle. And in my mind, you got a Pro Bowl center. So you got to put your... Cologne, you know, and you know who I think it might be? Falele. Because he's the best knee bender, a much better knee bender, mm-hmm. and athlete. He's a good athlete, you know, much better athlete than Cleveland. And, you know, you got to, and I'd like to get him down to about 360,
that'd
you know,
nice.
Not 385, 390. I think he was like 392. Or get him to 365, you know, and let that big sucker pull around. You know, and block. All you got to do with that's with 36 and a half inch arms.
Yeah.
You know, pass protection. But he's got good feet. All you got to do is reach out. You know, I kind of like Falele.
So on both sides of the ball, I think there's a glaring hole. Wide receiver for offense, cornerback probably for defense. Out of those two, which do you view as the biggest need right now for them?
Well, I think the number one thing that they got to have, because they want to throw the ball, you know, they got to have a wide receiver. And just not a wide receiver. I think they need to do, and I keep saying it, they need to do like Philly. They need to do like Buffalo. They need to do like the Raiders. You got to get a legit dude, you know, somebody that people are worried about. And guys that I brought up, you know, because to me, if I'm Eric, I'm looking at teams that, you know, are in a rebuild, have a receiver coming up that's going to get a lot of money, you know, like with Tennessee, didn't want to pay. Mm-hmm. And I could give my 22nd pick if possible, you know, possibly, you know, like a Michael Pittman Jr., you know, somebody in that type of category. Jerry Jeudy, who I mentioned also. So that type of guy that I can go get that all of a sudden, you know, I'm legitimate. Because right now my receiving group is not good. Because if you're the offensive coordinator, you're going to ask two questions, you know, about Lamar's contract situation. And then you plan on getting, you know, some wide receivers.
Yeah.
But they've said it. They said they're going to redo the whole room. So my guess, other than, and I think, you know, here's what I said about the cap right now is, you know, you put all, it's like a puzzle for Eric right now. So what you do with your cap guy, Cordell, is you say, all right, put Lamar in at 45 mil. All right. And then, all right, let me put all my pieces in that I'd like to have. And then what do we got to pull out? Because I'd like to have, you know, a lot. Duvernay's piece is in right now. But, you know, if I got to take out his 4 million, okay. You know, because he wasn't a Pro Bowl returner this year. And, you know, as a receiver, he's not a great receiver because he's not a great route runner.
I think he was. I think Duvernay wasn't on the Pro Bowl team?
No, I'm saying, but he wasn't. He didn't play like a Pro Bowl guy.
He didn't play like it.
Did you notice the difference between Justice Hill and Duvernay returning?
Not
I thought Hill did a good job.
I thought Hill did a good job, and God knows I don't give a lot of praise to James Prochet, but I thought he was fairly decent as well as a punt returner the limited amount of times that he got, you know.
Yeah. Well, he can catch it. You know, he's just not explosive.
Right. Yeah, Duvernay had the return at the start of the was it the Dolphins game earlier this year. For a while, I think he was the only guy in the league with a kickoff return for a touchdown, but that changed eventually. And you're right, he didn't have the explosive returns that he's had that he had last year. And some of his returns out of the end zone were kind of head scratchers. Like, why are you even bringing that up? And I guess it's because he's not getting the ball offensively. Amen. It's like, I got to find a way to impact the game.
Exactly.
Somehow. Let me ask you about the running back position because, you know, J.K. Dobbins, he's going into year four. Gus Edwards, he's due to make a little over $4 million this year. Drake's a free agent now. So is Justice Hill. His contract is up as well, although I think that they may try to bring him back for special teams reasons. But would you be surprised if they go into the draft potentially looking to snag a running back maybe later on in the draft?
Absolutely not. And I would, you know, if I can get Justice Hill back at a real cheap deal, I'd bring Justice Hill back. And Drake did a nice job too for him.
Has he outplayed his potential role of a third string running back in Baltimore? Has he played his way up to maybe a backup somewhere else?
Well, here's what I'm guessing what the Ravens will do, because it's kind of their history is like, okay, if he comes back at our number, you know, and they have a number that they're comfortable with, they'll offer him that number. Mm-hmm. Here's what, you know, and that guy's going to take it out and try to beat that, you know, and see if he can get it. And a lot of times they don't. So that'll be one that for the Ravens, I'm guessing it's not going to be, that one won't be done right away. That'll be something that you'll need to know prior to the draft.
Before we head to break, we got two.
But Gus Bus probably be gone.
Yeah, I think he might actually be. And I'm going to hate that because I really like Gus Edwards. Before we head to break, want to let the listeners know we got two tickets to see the Eagles on Saturday, April 8th. At CFG Bank Arena, courtesy of Live Nation. Be caller number 4 right now, and you could win. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want those Eagles tickets. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, Tony Pauline, he's a draft analyst for Pro Football Network. I think he's out there at the Senior Bowl. We'll talk to him about the Ravens drafts. What are some of their needs? Who's caught his eye so far down there in Mobile, Alabama? We'll talk to Tony Pauline next here on The Fan.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in place of the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on this featured artist Friday. We got The Clash. We're playing it for you all the way up until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Joining us now via the Ashley Furniture guest hotline, we got Tony Pauline from Pro Football Network. What's going on, Tony?
Oh, a little bit tired. Got in from practice last night, from Senior Bowl last night at 2 a.m. That was after 6 days of Shrine and Senior practice, but it's all good.
Go ahead,
Vinny.
Tony, who really helped themselves at the Senior Bowl?
I think if there was one guy, well, there were a couple guys. DeJuan Jones was terrific the first day of practice at Senior Bowl. I mean, the right tackle from Ohio State.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. He was throwing people around.
Yeah, well, it's not so much because he was throwing people around. It was because what happened was he was great in pass protection.
Yes, that's what I saw.
And his footwork was outstanding. And we knew that he was a big mauler that could drive people off the ball. But when he showed the ability to slide out laterally and cover a lot of area, people were blown away. He must have been blown away because he practiced one day and went home. He didn't go home. He just kind of, word is, he faked injury and he wasn't there the rest of the week because he helped himself so much. So that was one guy. Another one who I absolutely loved was Adetomiwa Adewari, better known as Tommy from Northwestern, the defensive lineman. Uh-huh. I mean, here's a guy was known as a good athlete, 270 pounds, checked in at 284 pounds, and he was unstoppable. I mean, he was driving people off the ball. He helped himself at least two or three rounds with his ability to pass rush to bull rush guys, pass rushing, quick athleticism. I think those two guys really helped themselves more than anyone else.
Now, Tony, what about, was it you know, you've been going there a lot. Was it a good year for talent at the Senior Bowl this year?
It was a very down year compared to previous years. I mean, we were sitting around thinking, how many first rounders are going to come out of the Senior Bowl? Wow. And we could not name a single first round player that we saw the past 3 years. I think the Senior Bowl talent was down compared to prior years, while the Shrine Game was probably a little bit better than it has been in past years.
Now, what about the receiving core?
I mean, it was good. It wasn't spectacular. I think Nathaniel Tank Dell, out of Houston, who was a small guy, mm-hmm. barely, he's 163 pounds, 5'8 and a half, but he could not be covered. I mean, he was amazingly quick. He was just blowing people away with his route running, with double moves. And when he got into open space, he had a burst. And it was a matter of, could the quarterbacks, who were terrible at the Senior Bowl, hit him with the pass or at least put the pass in his catching radius so he could come away with the grab? As I said on Twitter, I mean, Tank Dell was just, no one could cover him. He was outstanding. Jaden Reed of Michigan State had two outstanding mm-hmm. practices. Yep. Again, good route runner. He caught the ball very well. I thought Michael Wilson of Stanford struggled catching the ball yesterday, which was unusual for him. But again, a guy who ran outstanding routes and was really tough to cover. If you were looking for a bigger receiver, Jonathan Mingo, sort of in that A.J. Brown mold, 6'1 and a half, 226 pounds. And he was just physically beating down opponents all week.
Now, what about, Tony, what about the Maryland kids? They had the left tackle, the corner, and the kicker. How did they look?
The left tackle, Jalen Duncan, was tremendous at left tackle. And I mean tremendous. He was probably just a couple of notches down from DeJuan Jones. The athleticism, the agility, the footwork off the edge. That's what you expect if you watch Jalen Duncan the past uh-huh. 3 years. I mean, he is a very athletic guy. The problem is when DeJuan Jones went out, they moved him to right tackle. And that's what they did all week, which was really good. They moved tackles to guards. They moved guards to centers. They moved centers to tackles. And when Jalen Duncan moved to right tackle, he got mauled. And the problem with Jalen Duncan is we know he's a great pass blocker, but he's a little bit soft run blocking. And that's what we saw. I still think if he checks out character-wise, I still think he helped himself because he was a pure left tackle. As far as the corner's concerned, Jacorian Bennett had his moments. I mean, showed the ability to stay with some of these receivers, got beat a couple times, but also had a couple nice plays. The Maryland kicker was solid. I mean, you know, the kicker's there. It's tough to really, as far as I'm concerned, unless you're a punter and you're kicking moonshots, it's really tough to get a grasp on the kickers because they don't rush them. There's no pressure on them. And you know, it's a clean kick for them.
Tony, I want to ask about a couple of the quarterbacks that are there. Max Duggan from TCU, the last time we saw him, it wasn't great at the national championship. How did he look to you out there?
Well, it wasn't great for Max Duggan or any of the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl, to be honest with you. And I like Max Duggan. I mean, he's a good star. He had a terrific season. But, you know, you got what you thought you were going to get from Max Duggan. He, for every one good pass he made two passes that were kind of head-scratchers or were, you know, kind of all over the place. He's a physical talent with a next-level arm who really has got to learn to become a passer. He's got to improve his accuracy. He's got to improve his mechanics. So I don't think he came out of the week any worse for the wear. But, you know, he didn't do what a lot of quarterbacks do at the Senior Bowl, you know, enter the week and then come out of it with a 2 or 3 round improvement.
Now, Tony, in the past, you know, like when I was always at the Senior Bowl, I think I went to 20-some of them. Now, it was always packed. Like, every coach was there. It was like a coaching convention, scouting convention. Didn't seem like there's that many. You know, remember how, like, in the pass rush drill, I mean, like, it was like a circle of coaches and yep. everybody around. It doesn't yep. didn't seem like it. Are teams not sending coaches and stuff that much anymore?
Unfortunately, no. It's funny because this was my 23rd Senior Bowl, and I, like you, I go back to the days where the practice was at USM Wright and Fairhope High School,
yep.
and literally the last day of practice or that third day of practice, I mean, it'd be 4 or 5 deep on the sidelines, and mm-hmm. you could just walk around and you would see everybody. It's not like that anymore. I mean, in fact, there's more media people, I believe, than there are NFL people, which is probably why there's not a lot of NFL people there. And it's kind of strange in the sense that like, you know, day three of practice was always the most heavily attended.
Yep.
Whereas now, day three of practice, everybody's getting out in the morning. They're not even staying for practice. I think because they come in for the interviews. The teams come in and do the interviews because the interviews are more relaxed, and you can sometimes get more out of guys than you can in a combine interview. And then they got the game film. They can get the film, or not the game film, the practice film, I should say. They get the practice film, so, you know, why hang around for the week?
Wow, that because it looked like it, you know. And I used to love
and
going.
And it's been getting worse and worse over the years because, you know, as I've said, it's gone from a scouting event, which it was when I first went there in 2000, 2001, 2002, to more of a media event. Yeah. And a media, you know, I can use a lot of adjectives, but you're going to have to bleep me out.
Hey, Tony, you know what? You know what I used to like it for, too, was I used to really like just kind of watching the smaller school guys to see how they, you know, reacted when they were playing against the big school guys. Like, for example, T.O., you know, I thought, you know, Tennessee Chattanooga, and when I was watching T.O. and all the drills and doing all that, T.O. didn't have a problem playing against the big school guys, and that's why we ended up drafting him.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because last year there was a kid by the name of Cole Strange from Tennessee Chattanooga who had a terrific week of Senior Bowl practice, was a surprise first-round pick by the New England Patriots, had a good year. This year, Tennessee Chattanooga sends another offensive lineman by the name of McClendon Curtis. He's an offensive guard. He's not as mobile as Cole Strange, but he's a big, thick guy. You look at him, and he looks like an NFL lineman. And he had a tremendous week at guard. Now, he was terrific. They even put him at tackling. He had a couple reps. People had a tough time getting by him. McClendon Curtis is not going to be a first-round pick like his teammate or his former teammate Cole Strange was a year ago. But McClendon Curtis, you know, entered the week as a day three pick, and he may now end up, you know, in the late part of day two, in the third round. And, you know, that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy be a small school guy, step up his game, and really be able to play, you know, with better talent. Or, and when he has a mistake, you know, be able to rebound from it and come up in the next rep and do a good job.
Tony, we know the Senior Bowl is down in Mobile, Alabama. Got to ask you about a couple of these Alabama Crimson Tide guys. We know they're known for their defensive linemen. Byron Young and DJ Dale are down there. How have they looked so far?
Young looked really strong. I mean, he's more of a gap occupier. Was tough to move off the point. Didn't make a lot of plays, but I think for the reasons he was down there, he showed that he could, you know, basically play in the two-gap system and hold up the blocker or set the edge. DJ Dale was a little bit more athletic. Alabama guys really didn't make too many plays. There was not a lot of excitement about them, probably because they didn't play in the national title game. One of their guys who did well, Emil Ikior, who was an offensive lineman, was an offensive guard, took most of his snaps at center and did a terrific job until yesterday, suffered what seemed was a significant injury because they had to basically walk him off the field or carry him off the field.
Hey, Tony, do you think Tommy Reese will be a good hire for Alabama as the OC?
I mean, Nick Saban seems to work magic with those guys. So, you know, they seem to elevate their game when they go to Alabama because they know it's going to, you know, catapult them to better things. So, you know, I'm kind of surprised that he didn't go back to the Adam Gase, dip back into Adam Gase to see if Gase wanted, because Gase was in the mix for that job with Bill O'Brien, and he made the best choice with Bill O'Brien. So, yeah, until Nick Saban proves otherwise, you got to imagine it's going to be, and I think Reese will be able to elevate his game.
Tony, great stuff. Really appreciate you making some time for us. Enjoy the rest of the time down there in Mobile, Alabama. We'll talk to you again later this offseason.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tony.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, the 2000 Ravens, Bullies of Baltimore, got the documentary coming out this weekend on ESPN. We'll take a look at that 2000 team. I'll ask Vinny what are some of the things that sticks out to him from that 2000 Super Bowl run next here on The Fan.
Sports. With balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
On second and 10, Collins with time, and it's tipped in the air and intercepted. Jamie Sharper with the football. Ray Lewis tipped it. Jamie Sharper picked it off.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in place of Bob Haney, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We'll take you up until 2 o'clock and playing the Clash all day right here on The Fan. That audio courtesy of the Ravens Super Bowl win. What is that now? 22 years ago? 23 years ago now? Winning their first Super Bowl in franchise history back in 2000. And that 2000 team is going to be highlighted this weekend with the 30 for 30 Bullies from Baltimore on ESPN. And obviously, you think back to that year. You think about the Super Bowl
run. We beat them. Remember, Cordell?
But during that five-game stretch where they couldn't score a touchdown.
10-3.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Wasn't pretty at all, but man, that defense jumps out to you for sure. And Ray Lewis being on that team, Tony Siragusa being on that team, Rob Burnett, a lot of people forget that was a double digit sack guy that year. But Vinny, when people bring up the 2000 Ravens to you, what are some of the things you think about?
Well, what was cool was we had Ken Rogers, who's the producer for it. Mm-hmm. We had him on yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, like all the stories that they were talking about and how cool, you know, all the stories. Because Siragusa passed away, you know, a month later. So it was kind of cool that he got to be a part of it. The thing that you remember about that defense, they were so physical. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. They were physical. They were fast. They were cocky. They were confident, you know, and they let you know it. And Ken was telling us that they used to go like every Friday, Ray Lewis and who was it, Norm? Ray Lewis and who would go to the steam room on Friday?
Rod Woodson there, the defensive leaders.
Yes, the defensive leaders. And then Shannon Sharp and Dilfer would come in. And the defense would say, okay, get us 6.
Yeah.
You know, get us 10, whatever. And they would tell them, okay, this is what you need to get us, you know, offensively, and we'll take care of the rest. So it was pretty cool. I'm anxious to watch it. And this guy, you know, Ken Rogers has done like 7 of the 30 for 30s, and one of them was on Dion and stuff too. Okay. So it should be – he said – if you watch the one on ESPN Plus, you get exactly what they were, the language exactly how they were saying it.
Cool.
You know.
I got ESPN Plus.
Yeah, that's the one you want to watch.
The uncensored.
Yeah. Yes.
I'll be watching the TVMA version.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'll be a good watch for sure. I mean, you're right. You think about physicality when you look at this defense. And, you know, a lot of people, once Lamar went down, I used to get a lot of callers on my show of everybody talking about, well, you know, we won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. And I would always say, I mean, I think it's a little different now. The NFL game has changed a lot. But when you look
more
at
of a 7-on-7.
Yeah, I mean, the offense is kind of at the forefront in today's game, where I would argue back then defense and run game, which the way that team was built, that was kind of the way – that was the winning way back then in 2000. How do you think this 2000 Ravens would translate to today?
I still think they'd be good defense. The thing is they'd have many more penalties.
Yeah,
you know, roughing the quarterback.
A lot more fines.
Yeah, they would do that. But I don't – you know, with the way they spread people out and everything – I don't know that you could get by with scoring 10 points or less.
Right.
That would have been the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the AFC right now.
With all the quarterbacks.
Guys like Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Can this defense go to Trent Dilfer and say, yeah, just get us 13? I don't think that's going to fly against a lot of the teams that you would face. And really, you look all throughout the playoff teams, it's a lot of, you know, at least mid to high caliber quarterbacks.
You look at the final four quarterbacks.
Right.
You know, one, Purdy was up for rookie of the year, and the other three were all in the
MVP conversation.
Yeah. So, yeah, the quarterback, and that's why, you know, people say, oh, they're going to trade Lamar. You look at who's in the final four at quarterback, you know, and you say, oh, you can go get a Garoppolo. No, you can't. If you've got one, they're hard to find.
Yeah.
You know, and once you got one, you want to keep them. So that's why, to me, Lamar's going nowhere.
Now, one of the stories that I think about back then was Trent Dilfer losing his playbook. That is kind of one of the things that stick out to me. Have you ever had an experience like that to where you've had a player say that they have left some confidential information that could affect the team behind in a room or on a bus or something like that?
The only thing that I recall was we were I was in San Fran. We flew to play Green Bay on a Monday night. And you can ask Marty Morningwig about it, too, because he laughs about it. Bill Walsh gave Mike Holmgren's secretary our first 15.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill was with us, you know, on the plane. Bill was, you know, advisor or whatever Bill was. So Marty says, you know, because he says, Holmgren says, nah, this can't be, you know, it can't be. So then the game starts. And they have the list. And it's like, damn, it is.
Right.
You know? And it's like, we didn't do crap the first 15 plays. Then after that, Steve Young's like whipping it all over the place, you know?
That right there is a backbreaker to me. I don't know if that you could come back from something like that. I mean, especially at that time of year, you know, where it's the most important time of the season, it's, how do you even go to a coach and say, I lost my playbook? I don't even know if I would be able to find the words or the courage to say such a thing.
Yeah, that would. Well, you're going to get fined, number one.
It's the least of the worries.
Because what happens is, you know, you go to your meetings on Saturday mm-hmm. night, you know, and normally they
you
collect
have that
them.
With it.
They collect right. them. Or, you know, some guys want to study them. And, you know, I don't recall, you know, any. Buddy losing a play. Now, Dion, I remember when in Washington we got Dion, and even in San Fran we got Dion. You know, they says, well, here's your playbook. Playbook? I don't need a playbook. Just give me a number. The number that I'm supposed to cover. That's it.
That's it. Man me up all game. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll look at this year's Ravens team. Quite a few cap casualties potentially on this roster. The Ravens have got to find a way to come up with this money to pay Lamar Jackson. Might be a couple of guys sacrificed on this team. We'll look at a couple of those potential candidates next here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.